Welcome to the Global Emergency Medicine Literature Review podcast series. The GEMLR highlights and disseminates high-quality emergency medicine research from around the world, focusing on EM development, disaster and humanitarian response, and emergency care in low-resource settings. We're going to be bringing to you bite-sized portions of international academic goodness from acute care facilities around the globe. Today, I'm going to be joined by...
Hello, everyone. My name is Alex Jensen. I'm an emergency medicine resident at Johns Hopkins, and I'm also a reviewer for the GEMLR.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sacha Munat. I'm also an emergency medicine resident at Johns Hopkins, and will be providing sound engineering support for the podcast.
And I'll be your host. I'm Pugthi Hansodi. I'm faculty at Johns Hopkins University, and I'm also an editor for the GEMLR. So today we're going to talk about a paper by Carrasco et al. This is a retrospective cohort study to create a predictive tool that identifies those most likely to develop severe dengue according to the new 2009 WHO dengue classification criteria. And Alex actually did the review. So Alex, tell us a bit more about this paper.
Yeah, so this was a retrospective cohort study of among adult dengue cases at a single center in Singapore. And it was created to identify those most likely to go on to develop severe dengue. It was spurred by the creation in 2009 of new classifications of severe dengue as a subset when before it had previously been dengue hemorrhagic fever. So data was collected for all adults who were already confirmed to be PCR or IgG, IgM positive for dengue. So they had a way of identifying cases in an emergency department who had dengue, but did not yet develop severe dengue. And it followed their hospitalization and said what percentage of those patients would go on to develop severe dengue, and if we could create a tool that would be predictive of who would go on to develop severe dengue. So they used both laboratory data, but also clinical data that was gathered from the initial presentation H&P to see what things were predictive of severe dengue. Using advanced statistical models, they then developed a tool and developed two different tools, a resource-intensive tool and a resource-limited tool that would go on to predict those that would develop severe dengue. Now, the resource-intensive tool had both clinical and laboratory values, while the resource-limited tool relied simply on those things that were could be gathered from an H&P. And they developed a tool that had 27% specificity and 90% sensitivity for predicting those that would go on to develop severe dengue during admission.
So in summary, they use advanced statistical models. So you mean GLMs and ROCs, so generalized linear models and receiver operating curves, and they did a derivative study to create a predictive tool based on a big data set. And the numbers are pretty impressive, right? So they had 596 cases of dengue, of which 96 had severe dengue. Do they define severe dengue, or is it just based on the WHO classification?
It was simply based on the WHO classification. And then additionally, what they showed was that they then applied this 90% sensitivity and said, well, if we didn't admit some of those patients who were tool negative, according to this new tool, how much money would that save us? And their big endpoint was they used a cost savings model and saying that 19% of the admissions that they did could have possibly been prevented because by those tool, they were tool negative and they didn't go on to develop severe dengue anyway. And that if they had implemented this, they would have saved the hospital $700,000 US dollars during the study period over the course of this year.
So the study period was between 2006 to 2008, and that's quite a saving, really.
Yeah.
So the tool was not to predict who has severe dengue so that we can prioritize their care and improve the likelihood of admission, but it was to predict who can be sent home, which means with a sensitivity of 1 in 10, we are sending home 1 in 10 people with severe dengue?
Yeah, so, well, it's not severe dengue on presentation, but 1 in 10 of the people that we would have sent home would go on to develop severe dengue. So if you think about it, 596 people in the study, 96 developed severe dengue. So if you think about a sensitivity of 90%, 87 of those 96 would be admitted and 9 would be sent home of those 96 severe dengue cases. That, if you do the math out, shows a negative predictive value of 94%. So 94% of the people who get sent home won't develop severe dengue, 6% will.
Wow, so it's kind of scary though, right? So 6 out of 100 people get to go home and they may still develop severe dengue. And severe dengue, I presume, is like to have a very high mortality and morbidity. And if you think about it in resource-limited settings, where it's really difficult to get to a hospital in the first place, you don't have access to transport, you don't have the financial means to get appropriate transportation, then if you can't really bounce back. I mean, what are your thoughts about the implementation of a study in a rural African setting opposed to the setting that it was and setting in Singapore where, you know, there's good access to transport?
Yeah, you make a very good point, which is that this was developed and derived in a situation where a bounce back isn't necessarily very difficult. But in a rural setting where you really only have one interaction, you really need to be much more careful and probably higher sensitivities. And reconstructing the model would be necessary to have higher sensitivities. And this can all be done statistically. You could maximize your sensitivity. You just reduce your specificity in that regard, and you'd have more cases who would be admitted but wouldn't develop severe dengue.
Okay. So the other thing that was interesting about the study was this whole, all the people that were in the study had a known diagnosis of dengue. So, I mean, how available is that? I mean, I would assume that in low resource environments that you're applying this tool, where you don't have rapid PCR in the emergency department for the diagnosis of dengue, but you're actually applying it to everybody that has a general febrile illness. In which case, do you think that the same algorithms would apply or?
So I think it'd be much more difficult. They acknowledge this in their limitations where they say this is only amongst a population that has known dengue. The question is whether it will develop severe dengue. Now, in a lot of resource-limited settings where someone comes in with very vague febrile complaints, which is all of these patients, and a lot of the things that are used to construct this model are things like the duration of your fever, whether you had a fever when you came in, abdominal distension, vomiting. These are all very non-specific signs. Could be dengue, could be a host of other things. So can we apply this model to say, well, will they develop severe dengue? If we don't have a test for dengue, I don't think we can, because we don't know that they even have dengue at that point of presentation.
One of the big positives about the study, I feel, is that they come up with a tool for resource constraint settings also. So that is without the hematocrit, without the leukopenia. So it's based on HPI alone. I think having a predictive tool that can rely just on history and physical exam is actually excellent and really applies to lower resource environments. In summary, I think, you know, they do a great study deriving a predictive tool for severe dengue. I love the fact that we have a resource constraint version of the predictive tool. I am concerned, though, that you need to have a known diagnosis of dengue in order to be able to use this tool. So do I think this will impact global health emergency departments around the world in the near future? Probably not. Emergency departments are known to have a dengue epidemic and whose systems are completely overwhelmed with the number of admissions. Maybe, but a word of caution. This is about sending people home so you can save costs. But in low resource environments, that could mean that you're sending them home to die because they may not be able to bounce back. Great study, very good methods, very well put together. Maybe not ready for prime time unless you have a rapid dengue PCR or a known dengue epidemic in your ER. Fair?
I think that's all very fair, and I think the complications necessitate a validation in a setting where you have either a setting where it's less acceptable to send someone home.
Okay, so folks, that is us for Carrasco et al. If you would like to look up the article, then please go to www.gemlr.org, and you will find the full article and a little review and biodata about young Alex, who presented the article to us. Have a great day. Bye.